Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we're going to talk about the new moon in Libra. So we'll take a look at the signature of this new moon and give you a sense of what to expect, but not only from the new moon itself today, October 6th, but also what's going to happen as this moon cycle unfolds, especially toward the full moon, where there's a whole lot of activity coming up here later in October. So that is our goal for today. I also recommend that you go back and listen to my horoscopes for the month of October, because in those horoscopes, I actually break down where the new moon is occurring in the sign of Libra for every chart configuration based on your rising sign. So if you go back and listen for your rising sign in that video, you can also get a sense of where this new moon actually lands in your chart. So really recommend going back and doing that if you haven't yet. All right, before we dive in today, remember that my new course is coming up. Gosh, it's just a little over a month away now. We are filling up every day, getting closer to the start of class. You can check it out on my website. Go to the courses page. You can hit the first year course to check it out. This is a deep dive into Hellenistic astrology. If you don't know what Hellenistic astrology is, Hellenistic astrology is a traditional or sometimes called classical form of astrology. It's very similar to Indian astrology. It uses whole sign houses and very specific craft conventions. It's a kind of astrology that is more focused on the study of fate, or what you might call karma, the kinds of events that we are bound to by destiny in this lifetime. And so in this sense, ancient astrology is a little bit more predictive. In this course, we are marrying that predictive study of ancient astrology to modern psychological astrology with a counseling emphasis. So we're essentially trying to round out our toolkit and help astrologers to get really good at predictive astrology, while also being people who can sensitively talk to clients about their birth charts and help them navigate their birth charts, because we also have free will. And a lot of what we bring to the table and how we relate to our birth chart is a part of how fate unfolds. When I studied modern astrology for, you know, a long time and then practiced full time for 5 years, a lot of the emphasis was on the psychological, you know, dimension of the chart. This is a chart is kind of a three-dimensional picture of your character and psychology. So while that's still a part of this program, we're also looking at it from in the way that ancient astrologers looked at the birth chart, which is to say, this is not really who you are. This is the field of karma that your soul is born into, of fated and destined events and people and places and timelines. And I found that having that predictive toolkit has been really, really helpful, because sometimes people come in and we want to know what's going to happen when. And then sometimes we want to know how to navigate things that are going to happen, or how to get the best result from our birth chart based on a deeper understanding of ourselves and our character. So you really need both tools in your kit. And this program is designed to give you that. So over the 12 months in this course, we talk a lot about the history, philosophy, and metaphysics of ancient astrology. Where does this all come from? What is a house? What is a sign? What does a planet have to do with a house and a sign? Where did these ideas even come from? This is so important to actually understand, because when you understand it, you have a much deeper way of approaching birth charts. A lot of the way that I studied it originally was just learning adjectives and descriptions and kind of learning how to blend or combine them. When I started studying ancient astrology, what I started understanding was where it all came from. And when you understand that, you have the tool that generates all of the lists, which means that the lists can continue to be added to, and your understanding is, in a sense, very dynamic, and it's always growing and changing. So in this class, we talk a lot about the role of karma, fate, and free will. We talk about the traditional meaning of the planets. In this class, for example, we only use the traditional planets and the nodes of the moon in practice, in a sense, for just 1 year of our lives without the outer planets. Then we plug them in my year two class. And by that time, people have usually developed an incredibly deep and sophisticated understanding of the traditional use of the seven planets, which oftentimes is lost because of the way that modern astrology tends to lean very heavily on Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. So there's a whole lot in this course to learn about. There is a ton of bonus material and breakout study sessions and guest lectures, and you've got over 100 hours worth of content on the year. Webinars you can attend live on Saturdays, starting in November on November 13th, or you can listen to the recordings and download all the material and go at your own pace. So if you have any questions, feel free to email us at info@nightlightastrology.com. Take advantage of the early bird payment before the course starts. You can save $500 off. That's the best way to save. Or if you need a payment plan, we have them. And finally, I really want to emphasize that we try not to price anybody out. If you're someone who wants to study astrology and you're like, I'm on a really tight budget because of, you know, my job or situation with kids or school, or maybe you're on disability or you're retired, or maybe COVID hit you hard or whatever the case might be, we do have a need-based tuition option for people. And I've been doing that for years. Over half of the students that have come through my programs at this point, over 10, 11 years of doing this, have been on a form of tuition assistance. So if that helps you to set your own budget for the course and you can look at those requirements, make sure you qualify, then please do take advantage of that. We want to make sure that, you know, the astrological spiritual education should be really accessible. So check it out on my website, and hope to see some of you in class soon. And thank you guys for allowing me to go into promo mode at this time of year and take a little time at the beginning of my videos. I really appreciate it. So here is the real time clock, and we're going to now unpack the new moon in Libra, which is coming through today on October 6th. There's a number of different ways to talk about this transit, so we're going to kind of cover it from several different angles. One of the main things that we need to look at for any time that there is a new moon is we need to look at it from the standpoint of who's the ruler of the new moon and what is it doing in the moon cycle to come, and also what's happening between the new moon and the full moon, because that will often tell the story of the lunar cycle. One thing that I think is very interesting here is that we have a big stellium in Libra at the moment, a debilitated combust Mars. It's about to be Kazemi. We also have the ruler of Libra, that is Venus, about to change signs into Sagittarius, where it will immediately be conjoining with the south node of the moon. Now, that south node conjunction is something I was planning on talking about next week in depth. I'll just mention a little bit of it today. But this is a Venusian lunar cycle. It means that the cycle ahead is toned by the needs, goals, desires, and general wishes of Venus. So if you want to understand what the moon cycle is about between now and November, we're talking about Venusian things. So Venus is configured differently in everybody's chart and has rulership over very specific topics and areas of life, depending on where the houses of Venus lie in your chart, for example. But generally speaking, without talking about the specifics of an individual birth chart, what can we say about Venus and Venus's goals or desires for a lunar cycle? Well, Venus desires harmony, which means that Venus is going to look for agreement where there is tension or conflict. So in a sense, a Venusian lunar cycle has to do with working through tension and trying to find, or conflict and trying to find ease and resolution or agreement. Now, that's a pretty good sign, but if we're looking for, you know, conflict resolution or agreement, or we're looking to bring things together that right now are separate or tense, it's a tall task, this lunar cycle. Why? Because at the beginning of the cycle, we can see that we have Mars badly debilitated in Libra because it's both combust with the sun and it's also in the sign of its exile. So that's a rough place for Mars. Just for starters, Mars is potentially going to have a hard time, for example, saying no to the desires of Venus, or that's one possibility. So what would that look like? Well, let's say in the lunar cycle ahead that we're trying to make peace or find agreement in relationships. Then one of the things that can happen is that the overwhelming desire that Venus has for peace or for something to look nice or for something to feel good, whatever Venus wants to indulge in or enjoy, that could have a way of overriding the individual needs, wants, desires, or assertiveness of Mars. In a sense, Mars can't stand up for itself and is being bowled over by Venus. It's sort of like, if you're in a situation and you don't want to ruffle any feathers, and so you're just being polite, but in the process, you realize that, you know, you may have made things a lot harder on yourself by not standing up for yourself or by not asserting yourself or being more direct. So that would be one possibility of this lunar cycle. Now, why is that problematic? Because as the cycle goes on, one of the things that's going to happen, and we'll see this by the full moon, once we get into almost full moon time, we're going to see the sun squaring Pluto, followed by Mars squaring Pluto, and then we're going to see the full moon in Mars's sign of Aries. So try to make peace today. Don't stand up for yourself. Don't take an assertive enough stance, or trying to be too political or too strategical. And for the sake of agreement or for the sake of something Venusian, it could blow up in your face really between like the 19th and say the 23rd or 4th of this month, when you've got a full moon in the sign of Aries, the god of war, while Mars squares Pluto, which is can be like a pent up, big discharge of pent up energy. The sun is squaring Pluto, real power, like a very powerful and much more likely to be a sign of conflict and controversy even. And so it's kind of like, well, you know, try to make the peace today, but don't say or do what you need to do or what's right, or compromise your ethics in some way just to try to keep the peace, and things could kind of blow up in your face later in the cycle. So that's one possibility. Now let's go back to the beginning of the cycle where we are today again and talk about another possibility. So on the other hand, with Mars badly debilitated, we can also say that the potential for, okay, so you're what are we looking for in a Venusian lunar cycle? We're looking for things that we want or desire. Let's just throw out the idea of peace and agreement and harmony. Sounds kind of nice. And let's go to Venus on the level of like, well, I want to get laid. You know, I want some ice cream. You know, I'd like money. I want beauty. I want status. I want success. Anything that Venus desires that is a picture of luxury, ease, wealth, beauty, you know, kind of that more lusty side of Venus, which again, not to stereotype Venus, because Venus has many sides, but that's one of Venus's dark sides, would be the side of lust or vanity. So let's just say that this lunar cycle is toned by desires, and desires that aren't so healthy. With Mars so badly combust, going after desires or things that are not healthy could be like the sign of temptation, right? So here's something to think about. I was particularly like, about this particular aspect or potential of the lunar cycle. So I threw the I Ching, and the I Ching gave me hexagram number 44. Now, hexagram 44 is sometimes literally called temptation, a little bit translated that way. And the hexagram has to do with an influence or a person or a situation coming into your life, such as the temptation to have an affair, or such as the temptation to do something unethical because it's expedient. Whatever the case might be, there it's possible that an influence comes in, and maybe it's a good influence. Maybe there's something constructive to do with that influence or that person or that connection or that idea, but it has to be properly utilized, because the potential for it to be an influence that takes you off track, as opposed to something that's creatively beneficial or that's somehow leads to some degree of healthy pleasure or whatever, is there. So in other words, you have to be really careful with this lunar cycle, I think, given where it's starting in a Venus ruled sign, with Venus culminating in the last malefic degree of Scorpio, where it's also debilitated. That's the beginning of the lunar cycle, that we're not caged in by some kind of desire or influence that comes in and really takes over. Is there an opportunity to look very carefully at what we are being tempted by right now on some level? Maybe it's an influence, maybe it's a thing, maybe it's a person, maybe it's a goal, maybe it's a wish. something that we want or desire could really blow up in our face. Again, from like the 19th to the 22nd or 3rd. Why? Because right around that time, we're going to see the sun and Mars get into the square with Pluto. And then we're going to see the full moon in that Aries sign of Aries, the sign of Mars again. So the potential for things that are like, a more covert temptation, secretive kind of desire or longing or wish, something that's subtle, but maybe more pernicious than it seems, right? For that to actually manifest and for it to sort of really show itself, to show it as destructive as it actually is, you know, we may not, in other words, we may not see as something for as destructive as it actually is until like the full moon. So you want to be careful about what desires and temptations are sort of growing in the shade right now. That's something to be careful of. And instead think about, if there is a desire right now, maybe it's not the right time, or maybe we don't have the right resources, or maybe there's some way in which we're, you know, what's the saying, robbing Peter to pay Paul or something like that. So just, you know, be careful with how strongly a desire or an urge, excuse me, is like taking over right now. And I think in being careful about that, then you could see those same full moon energies coming about as, you know, showing you, well, here's why you were so cautious. Oh, okay. Thank you. I'm glad I waited. You know, you get some feedback around the full moon that shows you that it was a good idea that you waited. On the other hand, the energy around the full moon comes back to you and you've been very careful and patient. Maybe at the full moon, you get the sense, the sudden breakthrough of how to pursue that initial inspiration or desire. A lot of the times we have a desire and we think this is good, but something doesn't feel quite right about it, or something feels a little risky about it. And it's not necessarily that anything's wrong with what you want or desire, what you're going to be pursuing at work or in your relationship or at home or whatever the case might be. It's that it's not the right time. So something more needs to be known or uncovered or revealed. And the Pluto influences around the full moon will often reveal things that you can't see yet. So just keep that in mind, especially around things that you really strongly want or desire at the beginning of this lunar cycle. So again, those are probably two of the most obvious themes that I could see building around this. The other thing to be careful about with strong Libra and new moon energy here is triangulation. You know, Libra often, a strong stellium in Libra like this at the opening, especially with Mercury retrograde right now. In the next few days, Mercury in its retrograde is going to conjoin with Mars and the Sun. So let's just watch this. So if we push this forward, the 8th into the 9th, when we get to the 9th, look at, we've got this triple conjunction with Mercury Kazemi, Mars just finishing up with its Kazemi. That's a very empowered moment. It's a very executive moment in terms of the mental, rational kind of executive decision-making qualities. This is something that could also drag you into having to be the judge between two things or people, or having to make a very difficult decision, having to weigh different factors very carefully. And, you know, this is the kind of thing where it's like, you know, will something rise or fall? Will it succeed or fail? Will I judge it yay or nay? Will I say yes or no to something? I could see, you know, between now and say the 10th, between now and say the weekend, having to make a tough choice. And again, based on what we desire right now or what we want, I think we have to be really careful, because early on in this moon cycle, we may have to make a choice. It sort of flies in the face of what I was saying a minute ago, where I said you might want to hold off on doing something until like the full moon, because there's more to be revealed, I think. But with this new moon in Libra, the other thing, and then this sequence that comes up with Mercury, Sun, and Mars all getting together by about October 9th, I could see that at least in the next few days, you might have to make an initial decision or choice about something. And I do think, just to remind everybody, the choice to say, I need to gather more information, I need to take a little bit more time, I need to give it a little bit more thought, that's an option. Because this energy, when it comes through, maybe very like commanding, like make a big choice right now. And maybe that's what's going to happen. Some people are definitely going to feel this energy come through, and it's going to be decision-making time. Don't be surprised if after making a big decision earlier in this lunar cycle, there's pretty intense consequences by the full moon. That's all I'm saying. So just be very strategic around the next 3 or 4 days at the opening of this cycle. And again, I would say it's probably being influenced by either something that you're having to judge, the scales, the balance, having to weigh different factors very carefully. But don't underestimate at the beginning of this cycle that it's rooted in what is a healthy desire for me right now? What is an unhealthy desire, some kind of unhealthy temptation? So that's part of how I'm seeing it. Now, one of the reasons that we're going to be considering what is a healthy and unhealthy use of time, energy, money, resources, is because we're also seeing Venus going through a conjunction with the south node of the moon, Ketu in Indian astrology, which can actually mean the curbing of desires or appetites. And in Jupiter's sign, one would think that that might go hand in hand with a deepening of wisdom. So the cycle with Venus in the south node at the beginning also suggests like deeper insights around Venusian things, whether that's love, relationships, or generally speaking, desires, and making something more sacred, more spiritual, curbing or shedding unhealthy levels of desire or appetite. Being very aware of temptation during this cycle, I think, is important. So, okay, that's what I've got for you today. Some general thoughts about this new moon cycle. I would love to hear your stories. If you have any, put hashtag grabbed and then talk about your story in the comment section. If you want to email us, use the email address grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. Remember, the planets were called grahas in Indian astrology, grabbers, seizers. But also when we share the stories of the planets at work in our lives, we start to grasp and understand. And so that's the point of this series. I love to share you guys' stories. We'll probably do one in the next couple of weeks as we gather more stories from this retrograde cycle, Mercury square to Pluto, and so on and so forth. Don't forget again, my course is coming up November 13th. I would love to see some of you in class. We've got every day, we're getting more and more people signing up. So be sure you sign up soon. And I hope to see you guys, some of you in class to study for a year together coming up here next month. All right, that's what I've got for today. We'll see you again tomorrow. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.